Good morning, church. Amen. Amen. Has anybody got any praise shut up in them this morning? Yes. Yes, I believe we got some praise shut up in us today. I believe that God brought you through another week this week so you can praise His holy name. He alone is worthy of all praise. He is worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Father, we invite you into this service this morning, God. We just thank you for the presence that's here this morning. Father, we pray this morning, God, so many of us remember when we didn't even believe in you. But God, today, we believe in you. God, we thank you for saving us from us. God, we thank you for healing our land when we didn't even deserve it. And Father, we thank you, Father God, that when we never, ever even turned towards you, you always came after us. So, Father, that redeeming blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, not let us forget what you've done for us. Father, we pray this morning that, God, you would move in a mighty and a miraculous way. Father, we would pray this morning that, Father, you would heal land. God, we would pray this morning that you'd open blind eyes. Father, this morning, those who come in with mental disabilities, God, we bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, those who come in addicted in soul, Father God, we ask for freedom in the name of Jesus. Father, for those who came in this morning addicted to self, self-will, Father God, self-seeking, self-righteousness, and self, Father God, we pray this morning that you would bind that spirit of self and God allow them to come free, and freedom in Jesus is so sweet. So, Father, this morning, we've stilled ourselves, we've positioned ourselves, we've worshiped you, and, Father, we come with an incredible expectation this morning that, God, you would show up and show out in a mighty and a miraculous way. Father, we have bound the enemy up. We've cast him into the lake of fire. Where he come from? Straight into the pit of hell. Father, open our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits, Father. Still us, Father, before you and begin to speak to us individually and collectively. Father, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory this morning. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated if you can. Amen. Well, this morning, last week was the introduction to New Year's, right? And so this morning is kind of another New Year's message. And why I share that is that if you look at, go ahead and put the title of the message on the board. As they put the title of the message up, having compassion and making a difference. Having compassion and making a difference. Now, a lot of us are here today, and we're here just because somebody had compassion for us. And I shared this at my mother's funeral a couple of weeks ago. When I shared that, I said, if it wasn't for this lady, I said, you know, the truth was she wouldn't give up on me for 31 years. The truth is that she interceded for me when I didn't believe in me. She would never quit. She would never walk away. She always, if it wasn't for somebody else. Now, the truth is this. All of us have those somebody else's in our lives, and so often we are the somebodies. And we don't want to forget that God wants to do a new thing in the new year, as we shared last week. But in this message today, I want to talk about compassion. Everybody say compassion. Now, so often, we talk about compassion, and we think it's compassion for us, right? It's compassion for others. It's caring more for somebody than you do yourself. That's just kind of out of line in the ways of the world today, isn't it? But the truth is this, is that if we are in Christ, we should begin to have compassion for those who don't know Christ. I'm reminded of this over and over again on our purpose as a church is we're not here just to be a normal church, and we are very abnormal, all right, with no apologies. Amen. I thought about years ago why I didn't want to go to church for 31 years, and I figured it out. The church is full of hypocrites like you and I, all right? Hey, we're on common ground finally, right? But the truth is this, without Christ, we're nothing anyway. When we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, we're just simply one beggar telling the other beggar where to get the bread. We're beginning this compassion tour, if you will. We're coming to the place where we consider that we would rather make a difference in somebody's life than our own. We begin to worry about others more so than ourselves. This is something in a stamp of DNA that comes from Jesus Christ himself. It doesn't come from anybody else. Today in this world, that's impossible so often to consider somebody else before yourself. We're not taught that. We're not trained that. It's not on the TVs. It's not on the radios. It's nowhere. Everything that we have today, you don't even hear of self-help books today, do you, like you used to in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, because everybody's so full of self now that we can't get self out of the way, so you can't teach self when self's got it all going for them, right? So this morning, I want to kind of come against that. Everybody say against. I want to come against the normal, and I really want to be reflective of who we are in Christ. And now, I thought this was really cool. Now, some of you have never read the book of Jude, and Jude's tucked right in front of Revelation, amen, with great purpose, amen. Now, it's just one chapter, and so when you look it up, you say, Jude 1, where's that at? Well, there's no Jude 1, it's just Jude, all right, the book of Jude. And so these verses are very powerful, and I want you to read, it's just a couple of pages in your Bible. But today I want you to take some time after church to really read this, because this should be speaking to us about who we are and whose we are and our call and what's going on today in this world. Now for me, again, reflective of what I was before I come to Christ. Now I got saved at 31. I'm only, I don't know, 30-something now, 30. I don't know. 60 sure looks good on an old man, don't it? But here it comes down to this, is that I begin to know that there was change. I'm not the same person I used to be. You're not the same person you used to be, amen? And we begin to understand what we did is we changed our zip codes. That's what we did. We moved from the zip code of lost and breached, broke, busted, and disgusted, and we moved into a zip code of blessed and highly favored, and no matter what the enemy says, we begin to change the address of what the enemy had defined us all of our life. It doesn't matter if you as an atheist. It doesn't matter if you just didn't believe in nothing. It didn't matter what you believed or what you thought or what you've done to yourselves to hijack that and allow the enemy to begin to work on you. The truth is this, is that when you find the address of Jesus Christ, when you find a relationship, all of a sudden God begins to do something new in your life. That's what we got something to shout about. That's us. Amen. Now I want to share with you out of the book of Jude this morning, and I'm going to be jumping around in the book of Jude, but Jude was written to remind the church of the need for constant vigilance. Everybody say constant vigilance. Now, it's telling us to be strong. This is what I'm talking to. It's talking to us Christians. Right on? Yeah. I don't know if you've ever walked up in the face of the devil before, but I have a lot. But we're to be strong in the faith and to oppose heresy or false teaching. Everybody say false teaching. Now, the Bible don't leak that there's going to be false teaching, and in times it bleeds that there's going to be false teaching. Today, most people look at you as a Christ follower and think, you were just weird, man. Well, we are peculiar, the Bible says. But the truth is this, is that we've been hijacked from birth. We've been hijacked because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jude wrote to motivate Christians everywhere to action. And this morning, my goal is to motivate us as listeners of the Word of God to motivate us into action. He wanted them to recognize the dangers of the false teaching and to protect themselves and other believers to win back those who had already been deceived into believing and buying the bait of Satan. Man, that was me when I was lost. I had it all figured out by the world standard, didn't you? I was doing pretty good. Who needs that stuff, man? Being a Christian, you're weak, right? I know you said it because I used to say it. I know that I thought I had it all figured out, but at the end of the day, when the rubber met the road, I would lay in that bed, look at the ceiling, and I would say, this is all there is to life? And that's pretty hopeless if this is all there is to life, amen? But this message to motivate, to evangelize, to go into all the world. Look, we know that there's a lot of false teaching going on in the world, right? We know there's plenty of that going on, and today, so often, we know that God will bear witness, and when people begin to not think, now look, I've been up and I've faced with the Muslims and anybody else that you can think of, the non-believers, right on? So haven't you, but we're not to back down from that, we're to be motivated by that. Amen. Amen. So when someone's coming against you, the weapons may form, but they will not prosper. Amen. When you begin to walk in truth, everybody say truth. The truth shall set you free, but when God is working on you and coming out of your mouth, it will set them free too. Listen to me now. We'll talk about evangelism and having constant vigilance. You're in the workplace, talk about Jesus. Amen. Coming out to my workplace, right? All my guys, they don't work half the time. All they're doing is walking around talking about Jesus. The truck drivers show up, we talk about Jesus. They come to the front counter, we trust Jesus. We sit down to do quotes, we trust Jesus. We begin to let them know that there's nothing good in us but Jesus. How do you guys make a living if all you do is talk about Jesus? Well, the Bible says, if he's before you, who in this world can be against you? The truth is this, begin to claim your family back. Begin to claim your sobriety back. Begin to claim your relationships back. Begin to claim your finances back. Begin to put the devil under where he belongs, under your feet, and begin to claim what Christ has for you. So this morning, the angle that I want to share with Scripture this morning is this. The angle is this, a fresh word. Everybody say fresh word. Well, I feel good, doesn't it? Yeah, we need a fresh word from God that can make a difference in our walk. Anybody here need a fresh word from God this morning? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We're to encourage each other to notice those that surround us and begin to influence their lives. It doesn't matter what anybody else says about you. It doesn't matter when the enemy begins to put the weapons before you. All of you know when you got saved, amen. You remember, some of you, that's been a long time, right? But when you got saved, it's undeniable who changed you. It wasn't somebody you was hanging with. It wasn't somebody that you knew. It wasn't your grandparents or your parent. The truth was this. When you come into relationship with Jesus Christ, he began to work from the inside out. Today, 30-some years later, people still look at me and they say I'm the old man. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how no good I used to be. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb, and so are you. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. He is worthy. Now, the book of Jude has a strong warning against false teaching that crept into the church. Everybody say church. Church. I'm going to talk about that because what's happening today in North America, the church is weak. The church is weak. The church is not unified. The church is not fighting from victory. The church is not standing up against false teaching. We're beginning to put the bells and the whistles of the world on and begin to say that is how church is. Look, the Bible is very clear of who you are, the church. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. I know that's always popular, right? But I want to share with you three different facets of Jude chapter 1, verses 16 through 25. Now, the book of Jude has a strong warning against false teaching that crept into the church of their time, and I'm going to say that's why I'm preaching it this morning. I'm preaching it this morning because you are the church, what has crept into you. You know what I'm talking about? The stuff you ought not to be watching, the stuff you ought not to be processing through your ears, the stuff you ought not to be standing in the corner saying to somebody else, the stuff that you ought to not be doing. Okay, let me keep going now. I'm just going to preach it us a little bit. I want to talk about the first part of Jude 16 through 25. It's a call. It's a call to persevere, if you will. It's a call to the duty to fight for God's truth. Is there anybody here that wants to fight for God's truth? Listen, if we don't fight for God's truth, it'll put us under. Amen? Let's jump into the word here. It says in verse 16, these are grumblers. Now, first of all, I'm reading the word to you. So don't get mad at me if any of these fit you. All right, I'm telling you, they fit us. I know all about it. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Verse 17, but you, listen to this, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you. Wow. They spoke to me that there would be mockers in the last times, and we're living in the last times. Amen. We know what last times refers to, a time between the first time when Jesus and the second coming, and we know what we're living in it, and it's coming, right? Well, we know that. But the mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly, it says, lust. These are sensual persons who cause division in not having the Spirit. Now, when you break this first part down in the Scripture before we move any further into it, we're called to persevere. There's a duty to fight for truth, and the truth is God's Word. We got to begin to understand that our opinions really don't matter that much. What really matters is what God's word says and how he says it and when he says it. And it's not to be added to or taken away. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our job is to live by the word of God. The second part, it says maintain your life with God, verses 20 through 23. It says that, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And then verses 21 and 22 down here, it gets powerful, I believe. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. What is keeping ourselves in the love of God? It means to live close to God. Not away for separated by sin from God, but live close to God and, here it is, his people. We're his people, amen, right? Do not listen to the false teachers. Begin to pay attention to the tension that's in your life. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22, and some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. When we look at verses 22 and 23 here, we should not take sharing the gospel lightly. It's going to get ugly and hard, but our job is to take the gospel and maintain our life in God and share it with anybody that comes into our path. Now, I'm going to put us into crosshairs in just a second. The third part of this scripture is glory to God. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Now, he's able to keep us from stumbling, right? Right? You ain't never, let me get, you want to give you some examples of me? You want to give them what you think they deserve? He said, love them anyway. You want to judge them real good? He said, judge them and know they're covered by the blood. You think, listen to this now. We know this. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory and with exceeding joy. Verse 25, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. So that means we strongly agree, right? We definitely agree with Scripture. Although false teachers are widespread and they are dangerous, if I may add, we don't have to be afraid if, everybody say if, yes. If we trust God and are rooted and grounded in his word. Amen. We got to trust God, then be rooted and grounded in his word. Now this scripture, this Bible part here that I'm sharing with you right before Revelations, was written in the A.D., right after the death of our Savior Jesus Christ, and it says about 67 or 68 A.D., and it was probably written or penned in Jerusalem, if you will. But the spiritual thought here in the scripture is this, he is able. He is able. Everybody say he is able. Amen. So the thought is this, is that if we're in Christ and Christ is in us, we are able. We are able because he is able. In the context of the book here, Jude describes false teachers who, listen to this, they deny the Lord. Now, I've been doing ministry a little bit for the last couple of decades, and one thing I always seen is everybody always had honor and respect for me because of who I was, right? Whether it's the jails, the prisons, the places I go to speak, the community we was in, I remember people always having respect, and they would know if you was a Christian that they wasn't going to act like that around you, right? Does anybody remember that? A couple of you old people, okay, praise the Lord. But listen to the truth of this is that these false teachers deny the Lord, and what they feel like they have been given is a license to sin. They can drop the GD bomb, the MF ball, all this stuff in front of you, and just keep going, and we stand there and say, ooh, ow, ooh. So I was in Walmart, which I hate. I call it hell. All right, but I was in there the other day, which I go about once a year whether I need it or not. All right, but we was in London, and I've been praying for this guy, and this guy worked for me 30 years ago, and when we walked up, I see him at the end of an aisle. I said, well, praise the good Lord. I'm never in London, but I know he's from London. His wife died. His 43-year-old son had died, and I was praying for Bob, and I seen Bob at the end of the aisle, and I said, well, praise the good Lord, and she said, what? And I said, I ain't got time. I got a zero laser focus. I'm going to tell him about Jesus, but I get down there, and the first thing he done was offend me. I'll be GD. I was like, said, took the wind out of me. Because I don't ever hear that more because I need to be around more of that, to be honest with you. All right? I need to hear my God's name used in vain because I've been endued with power against that. But anyways, I got away from him, and a few minutes later, guess what? He seeked me out. Oh, now you're on playing field, brother. All right. So I got to tell him, and one of the girls was with us, said, you should have told him you was a preacher now. So he already knows I'm a preacher. He already knows I invited him to Bible study, invited him to church, and it was just cool to watch God work. What happened was he began to recognize who I am. He began to recognize what was inside of me. He quit using profanity. He said, I am sorry. I should apologize to you for the way I am acting. It's what he was saying without saying a whole lot. And that's who you are. Do you hear me today? I didn't have to be offended hearing the stuff. I used to say the stuff. And the truth is, if I used to say it, the only difference is I've been moved into amazing grace. But he's talking about this license to sin, and Jude, he points out their principles and practice, and he gives Old Testament illustrations of sins that leads to apostasy. Now listen to this. Now apostasy, I put this on the board for you, is the total rejection of Christianity by a baptized person who, having a one-time professed the Christian faith, publicly rejects it. All right, so you might take a picture of this because they had a lot of them wandering around the earth today. Amen? Look, I ain't trying to punch nobody in the kidney this morning. I'm sure going after a throat punch, though. Huh? I'm telling you, they say, well, that's jailhouse religion. That's prison religion. That's one time to church religion. That's God, if you will, and he did religion. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it doesn't really matter what nobody else says when you begin to look at apostasy here, the total rejection of Christianity. Now, the Muslims have totally rejected Christianity. But in our midst, in our realm of going to them and loving them in spite of the lie, what happens is they become come to the place where they want to have knowledge of truth. When we go to the jail system and the prison systems, the Muslim faith is in there, by the way. Amen? But they know, Fred Schultz, when you walk up in there is an anointing that cannot be denied, amen? There's a power that comes with being a Christ follower. It doesn't matter what we've said. It doesn't matter what we have done. It doesn't matter even how we believe. When we have the Holy Spirit that is working inside of us, it begins to ramp up and come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. But Jude encouraged the believers to remain firm and remain firm in their faith. This morning, I want us believers to remain firm in our faith no matter what you see out here in this world. We need to remain true to the faith, trusting God's promises for the future. This was important for a reason. It was important because they were living in a time of increased apostasy, when people had known Christ but now completely deny him. It sounds like the time we're living in. Can you say amen? 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 Okay, all right. Look, you know what I'm talking about, right? I love to meet people who don't know Christ. All right, why? Oh, they're so abrasive and so, no, they're not. They're no different than me. And I thank God somebody loved me enough to tell me the truth 31 years later. I've seen the hypocrisy lived out through my family. I've seen the hypocrisy lived out through the other people. And I've always thought to myself, if that is Christianity, why do I need that? I want to share that in just a second. Because the truth is, it's personal. Total rejection of Christianity. I have some examples here. Israel. How about Israel? Israel was the blessed of God, called of God, the chosen of God. But in their unbelief, they pursued laws and words. And that's kind of what happens today in the church. You got to duck so low, jump so high, spend so many times. My church says, come just like you are, amen. If you can come just like you are, he will do all the work anyway. Listen, their unbelief, who did not pursue righteousness, but a righteousness that is by faith, is what they rejected. Angels, how about the angels in heaven? They were rebellious, it said. They was called and labeled fallen. Fallen by Michael, the archangel, and others by Satan. How about Sodom and Gomorrah? We know about that, right? Immorality. Immorality. Look, we're there today. The sexual desires, the unnatural lust of men and women today, abominable things that the Bible calls bad. But yet we say, well, it's okay. How about Cain? And we talk about Cain and Abel. And Cain, he had this self-will. Do we know anything in this society today about self-will? Amen. Self-seeking, self-righteous, self-indulgent. That's how we are raised today. We need to live with sincerity and sincerity to God's word. If you feel like you're sinning and he's knocking on your door, then knock it off. Amen. He's taking us through these things. How about Balaam? He had covetous, and we call it today greed. Greed for wealth and prestige. Get ahead of anybody at any cost. Everybody else has done me wrong, and I'm going to get even. How about Korah? Rejection of God's authority. And then you know what happened to Korah when Korah began to reject Jesus Christ? It says that God opened up the earth, and swallowed him and all that appertained to him. Anything that was of him, when God got tired of it, he said, watch this, whoop, gone. Hallelujah, oh me. Amen, listen to me. I got to keep going. The summary that Jude sums up the awfulness of their sins and concludes that in verse number 19, these are sensual people. These are sensual people who cause divisions. And then it says, not having the Spirit. You guys listening to me? Man, you got the Spirit. If you have the Spirit by believing in your heart, professing with your mouth, it doesn't matter what you was. It don't matter what you looked like. I love Doug. Look at Doug. Look how pretty Doug is. Doug, wave your hand so everybody knows who you are. This guy at the shop the other day told me, he said, that guy face all tattooed up. I said, man, he's beautiful. And he said, beautiful? I said, yeah, that man loves God. I said, that man loves God. I said, it doesn't matter what the past said to him or what the past did to him. I said, I can tell you this. I said this, that man's got the Spirit. I said, what he don't have is 30 or 40 years of righteousness, that's self-pity, amen. What he has is, I know I was lost, but I don't know how, but I'm found. I know that I was blind, but now I see. I know I was going wrong, but now I'm going strong. That's what it is. It's beginning to move yourself in a positive direction. Believers are strongly encouraged to recognize their calling. Doug is recognizing his calling. The most important thing for Doug is for us to throw fuel on Doug when he's at work and when he's making deliveries and when he's working. We just keep telling him about the Lord and telling him more and more and more. He's becoming powerful, amen. And what he's doing is he's knowing that God has called him, God will sustain him, God has delivered him, and God will use him to set the captives free. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. The name Jude means he shall be praised. This is what Doug's got. He said, I don't know nothing, but I know I'm going to praise my God. That's what we got. If we praise God, God says this, if we don't praise God, the rocks will cry out. As we said, there ain't no rock crying for me, amen. I might not look right, I might be undignified, I might be all this other stuff, but there ain't no rock crying in my place, amen. Amen. We know that's right. That name Jude, he shall be praised. Now, Jude chapter 1 and verse 17, backing up a little bit, but you beloved, remember the words. Everybody say remember. We are to remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to remember what's already been said, the fight that's already been won, the battle that's already been crossed, amen. We begin to look at this, and I thought about that. I'm going to take you back to Jude chapter 1, verse number 3, but before I read it, we must always defend the truth, amen. We must always defend the truth. How do ordinary Christians contend for faith? How do ordinary Christians contend for faith? How do we do this? Knowing the truth. Amen. Got that? Knowing the truth. Grow personally in Christ. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. I just know I was blind, but now I see I've accepted and he's doing something. Three, remain unified on the essentials. Okay, what is the essential things in our lives and in our relationships? Christians can disagree on many non-essential things like music or praise and worship or the type of preaching or how we study the Bible, but that's all non-essential stuff, amen. Amen? Listen, I catch a lot of heat every time I change anything in the church. All right? And I say, if you got a problem with it, talk to Miss Corrine. It's her fault. But it comes down to this. We must always, always know that we're together with purpose. We are here to defend. We must always defend the truth of the basics of our faith as found in God's Word. Amen. So when you see something not right, immediately speak the name of Jesus over it. When you feel the presence of God deplete, begin to speak the name of Jesus. When you begin to feel hatred, discord, division, anger, those things, begin to speak the name of Jesus. That's what's inside of you. It awakens the spirit. It will cause your person to rise up and to fight the good fight. Now Jude 1:3 says it this way, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. There it is, contend for your faith. Believe the truth, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Ain't that powerful? It is. Jude emphasizes the importance here of relationships, the relationships between correct doctrine and true faith. Now, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know this. Everybody say amen. But he's telling you, you got the doctrine, and you got the truth. So look for the counterfeits. Remember the words of the apostles. They said to earnestly contend like an athlete who strives for victory. What do? You're really, truly fighting to learn the word of God and to draw near to Christ. It says to keep the faith. The sound doctrine, it says, and the truth of the gospel. It's not false. It's not a lie. It went all the way from the apostles all the way into us today. And then to deliver the goods, amen. The gospel that was approved and authorized by the apostle as apostles is exactly what our goal is today, is to deliver God's word. And then it tells us in Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, going backwards, or going forward now, maintain your life with God. Everybody say maintain. Amen. Listen, every time you start letting it break down, you get the stuff that comes with that. All right, so I know it's not easy to maintain your life. It kind of is. As you get older, you start learning, I got to get in the word right here. But Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. That's powerful, isn't it? When it says building yourselves on your most holy faith, building yourselves up on this most holy faith, this is a reference to the freshness of the doctrine. Amen? Amen. So if you're in the Word and you say, I just read that 537 times, and I can't believe on the 538th, God really told me what it meant. That ever happened to you every day when you're studying the Bible? The word's still the same. But the only thing's changing is us. He's revealing to us victory to victory. We know that. But let me keep going here. It says, building yourself up, there's a reference to freshness doctrine, not the fruit of the Spirit. Building is a real, true community effort. Building is a community effort. This is why we have church. Let me keep going. Christ is our cornerstone. What's that really mean when we look at that? The church is a group of God's people. We are a group of God's people. Well, I shared last week with mamas, you know, you mess with my baby, you'll get it. All right, you mess with someone in the church, you're going to get it. Because we're going to pray for you. Right? Now, we've been under plenty of attacks. It's been from our own kids, our own grandkids, our co-workers, people even in the church. But the truth is, we pray for each other. Because we are a family, we are a group, we are in this to get this together. People can see God's love in us when we serve Christ as Lord and when we live in harmony with each other, according to God's word. So are we really seeking to live in harmony with each other according to God's word? Let me finish the scripture here. Having been built up on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That's where my mom went a couple weeks ago. At least that's where your mama went. In the dwelling place in the Spirit, amen? Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. He is the cornerstone of our faith. If you're looking for mercy, be sober, stand and watch mercy find you. Amen? Amen? I got some points I wanted to bring out of the scripture this morning. I'm going to start with the first point. The Spirit working with you makes the difference. Amen? So look at that. You ain't got to go at it alone. All right? You ain't got to go at it alone. Now, when I look at this, the Spirit working with you makes the difference. In Mark chapter 16 and verse number 20, then the disciples went out. Okay, everybody say out. It's not sitting inside the church. It's not sitting in your cubicle at work. It's not sitting in your house waiting for miracles to happen. The disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. Now, the seed thought as we begin to look at the scripture here today is this. When we read the word of God and study out of the Gospels, there were 12 just ordinary men who were trained and discipled under the wing of Jesus Christ himself. Just 12. But this thing called Christianity swept the world, amen, with 12 ordinary people. They took the gospel message of saving grace, having compassion for those who was coming against them, who was calling them false teachers, who was doing everything they could to diffuse the truth. Within them, they shook the entire world around them, and they was making a difference. Everybody say, making a difference. Because today, my message for you is make a difference. Make a difference, amen. The first point here is this, as we talk about the Spirit working with you, making the difference, the disciples went out. How did they get the passion that they had? How did you get the passion that you have? Yeah? Yeah, but how'd you get that compassion? You know what you used to be. And ain't nobody, you can't lie to yourself. You know who you was, right? But we know what we used to be. The seed thought when we read the Word of God and studied out the Gospels of these 12 ordinary men, things begin to change. How did they get the compassion? It says how they got it, Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. Jesus ascends to heaven. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched. This is what he did to you and I. He was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. We need to receive a glimpse of glory ourselves. The truth is this, is that you know when you was at the bottom of you. You know when you was at the end of you. You know when you was down and out and counted out. But after 40 days with the disciples, Jesus returned to heaven. But he let them know, you got to see, I did this for you. And so what he did is done it for us. He began to tell everybody, go share that good news. Go share the good news. You know what you was, but now I want you to know who you are. Then it says in that same scripture, they preached everywhere. That was their lifestyle. That is what was taught by Jesus himself. That should become our lifestyle. How do we get to this place? We must have passion for Christ. We must care about the lost more than anything else. Third, the Lord, it says the Lord working with them. To be a fellow worker, we have got the power. Look at this, powerful. We got the power to use your prayer tool in the name of Jesus. You've got the power. Use your prayer tool. Begin to pray for them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you can bind up evil spirits. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you can command that spirit to come out. In the name of Jesus, you can receive your miracle that you need this morning. In the name of Jesus, you can be healed if you're sick in body. In the name of Jesus, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we receive the forgiveness of our sins in the name of Jesus. That makes all the difference. In the name of Jesus, that makes all the difference. And the fourth point, confirming the word with signs following. When you begin to call out the name of Jesus, miracles will happen. Miracles will happen. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and they said, man, you guys kind of crazy in that church. I said, what are you talking about, man? He said, well, I seen somebody that is praying and they just laid over on their side and somebody else was crying out. I said, man, brother, you don't know their struggle. You just don't know their struggle, man. They've been delivered, first of all, of themselves. And the second thing is they know all the fake. They know the stuff that's never worked. Now they're just getting real with Jesus. And what Jesus is doing, he's just showing up in their mess, amen. And he's taking that mess and making it a message, their test and making it a testimony. We know what it is. I said, I know it might not look too good to you, but maybe you're the one that needs to be moving closer to Christ. Okay, old judgmental one. Amen. All right. That didn't go nowhere. All right. Personal application is important that we don't forget. Personal application. We have the opportunity and are given the ability to make a difference in those that are around us. God did not accidentally put that Yahoo in your life. Some of you sitting right slap dab beside them, right? That's the truth. Listen, God put us strategically in each other's life. It's important. some of the people, like I told you, the guy the other day, I'm praying. I've been praying for this guy. He lost his son. He lost his wife. And I got thinking, how that poor guy got to be miserable, man. And I know he don't know God. And guess what? He was miserable. And I could just read his mind. He's thinking, how'd that guy send me 40 miles out of the way inside of a Walmart inside of that aisle and come up and tell me he remembered me? He had to come back to me. I don't even remember you. I should. I said, that's all right. I told him my name. He said, oh, yeah. Well, GD, oh, wait a minute. Hear what I'm saying? Strategic. Don't worry about being offended. Those same words come out of your mouth. Don't worry about being offended or hurt by the ways of the world, but begin to understand that God's endued you with power from on high. When he began to make the deposit of the Holy Spirit inside of you, he begins something brand new inside of you so you can go and you can begin to share with a lost world how good your God is. That Spirit working with you makes the difference. Second point, Timothy makes a difference. Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, take heed to your ministry. Am I talking to the preacher? No, I'm talking to us. We all have ministries, amen? It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. Everybody say an example. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's what the word says. It says in word, the doctrine, know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Conversation, the behavior, the lifestyle. I'm the same no matter what. You get me here, you get me there, I'm still the same. In charity, it talks about the love and how you treat others. How about instead of giving them what you think they deserve, won't you give them what Jesus died for? He gave them love, amen. Why don't we quit judging and begin to love? Won't we go ahead and step over the threshold of self-pity and self-desire and begin to say, you know what? I'm going to listen to that GD word and that MF word because I care more about your soul than anything else. God, you redeemed me and you healed me and you set me free. And God, I come to teach and preach the gospel in faith. Your commitment to the work of God. Are you faithful to what God has called you to? And then it talks about purity, holiness. Be ye holy because he was holy. I don't got to be like that. That's old school. No, that's today's school, amen. It's still the same word yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't matter what the false doctrine and the false teachers are saying. If it was a sin then, it's a sin today. Then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Better get a hold of it. I told you, Timothy's making a difference. It says in verse 16 of the fourth chapter, take heed to yourself. Quit worrying about your spouse. Quit worrying about your coworker. Quit worrying about the person sitting right beside you right now and take heed for yourself. You hear me? You ain't getting to heaven on nobody else's shirt tail. You only going to get there because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they keep going. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear.
Come on.
And those who hear.
You.
That's powerful, isn't it? Oh, my, my, my. You know, that's hard, Lord. Yeah, he does know. Look at this. Take heed or take hold, if you will, of the doctrine and make a difference in teaching and winning souls. If you want to know why you're here to win souls. Once you give your life to Christ, you're done. Now your life is for Christ. He wants us to take heed of it. He wants us to know that he's putting us in these relationships with his purpose in mind. The third point, we look at this. God's Spirit working with you makes a difference. Timothy makes a difference. God listen to this. God preserves, and he makes the difference. You should have already been checked out when you overdosed. You should have already been checked out when you shot or stabbed. You should have already been checked out whenever you want to put out there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know that night you said, God, if you will, one more time. God never forgot you asking that. I'll try not to cry because I cried that in my death. God, you know I'm an atheist, and God, I don't even believe in you. But if you will, God, and he did, and he did. God preserves. He does, and he makes the difference. In Jude chapter 1, we'll back you up again, verse number 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called. Everybody say called.
Called.
Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. That's you. Everybody give God a hand clap. Yeah. Now, the definition of this Greek word of sanctified means to love in a social or moral sense, but the real meaning of sanctified means to make you holy. God calls us to be holy because He is holy. What God is calling us to do is to become holy like Him. Everybody catching that? Let's keep on going. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 1 in the NIV, to those who have been called who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. That is who we're kept by, Jesus Himself. If you're tired of your life hitting a dead end street, if you're tired of your sins shackled around your feet, trying to break a drug habit, a hurt habit, or a hang up, let the Spirit of God move on you. Let the Spirit of God move on you. It will make all the difference in your life. I'm standing here years later, decades later. I haven't had a drink. I haven't smoked any dope anymore. I haven't done any drugs. It's the Spirit of God that's working in me that keeps me preserved, amen. It's the one that tells me that He is my substance and what I need is a relationship with Him. So no matter what the struggle is today, once you make the commitment to serve Him, you might not look right, act right, or talk right, but He's going to begin a work in you. He will preserve you. The fourth point, the Spirit working with you, it makes the difference. Having Jesus in your life makes all the difference. Amen. You have a relationship with Jesus that can never be abolished. A righteousness that can never be tarnished. An acceptance that can never be questioned. A standing that can never be shaken. A justification that can never be reversed. A seal that can never, ever be broken. An inheritance that can never be alienated. A wealth that can never be depleted. A possession that can never be measured. A strength that can never, ever be weakened. In the 18th Psalm, verse 2, if we're in the Lord, amen. It says the Lord is, this is personal, my rock. Everybody got this? There's my in here a lot. Because this is who the Lord is to you and to I. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God and my strength in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. God's protection of His people is limitless, and it can take many forms, but He loves us and preserves us, and He protects us. The next point, what makes a difference in a church service? We're moving you to the end of this. You ready? What makes a difference in a church service? Why does everybody like my church? Why do you like my church? Right? Okay, we're weird. Everybody likes us because we're weird, right? Amen. You go to church, you can actually enjoy it. All right, you can just be like everybody else. Hey, I told you when you started today, you hypocrite. Come on in with the rest of us hypocrites, and we just act like we love Jesus with everything that's inside of us. Because there ain't nothing good in us but Jesus anyway. We know that we was blind, but now we can see. Yes, we know that. Now listen, the instructions for the church that He gives us here, what makes the difference in the church service? There's a difference between religion and relationship with God. Now, if you don't take a picture, nothing else, take a picture of that. Because I'm calling you to live like this, not religious. You know that people have been saved 90 years, 40, 30, 20, whatever, and they're still doing the exact same thing they've always done. I already qualified that at the beginning of this message. Ain't nothing happening. I'm not saying it'd be me. I'm not saying it's everybody either. Don't get me wrong. Don't get mad at me sending the hate grams to Karina. But the truth is this, if they can't see Jesus Christ in us, if we don't have fresh fire, if we don't have an anointing, if we ain't moving it forward, if we ain't witnessing, if we ain't winning souls, what good are we? We're good for the fire. That's what the Bible says. But it's telling us, if you want to judge yourself, just use the word and make you real comfortable, right? Not so often. There's a difference between religion and relationship with God. Religion, that's what the world's got. You notice today that many of us talk about this. People say, oh, you Christians. I said, don't call me that dirty word. Oh, I thought you was a preacher. I am a Christ follower. That means I listen to the Word of God. I obey the Word of God. I live and die by the Word of God. I am growing in my faith. I am allowing God to use me. I don't care what the circumstances are. I will dictate the circumstances by the Word of God. And no matter what the fire or persecution is, I will stand up and I'll walk through it in the name of Jesus. I'm a mistaker, and I need the amazing grace of an incredible God. That's who we are. In relationship, you can ask forgiveness. In relationship, you can know that you're a sinner. In relationship, you can say, I really didn't mean that. And he says, okay, I'll give you another do-over and another and another and another in the same hour, right? But the truth is he'll give us do-overs. In religion, you can never perform yourself. You're never good enough. You'll never make it. You'll always look the other way. You think everybody else is the problem when the truth is the problem is us. In religion, you will over and over and over again underperform and always walk away and always blame yourself. In relationship, you can tell God that you're a sinner and he forgives you and he embraces you and he loves you right back into relationship again and again and again. This coming to church for prayer and having a prayer meeting or hearing a sermon or hearing the word preached is one thing for sure, right? But, put it on the board for me. This is why you bunch of weirdos. You bunch of freaks of Jesus. This is why you walk up in the middle of a women's conference with 10,000 women there, and they begin to notice who you are. They begin to say, I want whatever they got. This is why you can walk inside of a jail or a prison ministry or a nursing home ministry or a place of work or anywhere you go and people begin to take note of who you are. They begin to know that you've been endued with power from on high. They begin to judge you real good. They begin to deplete your weaponry. But God said, if I'm before you, who in this world can be against you? You begin to rise up with the power and the might of Jesus Christ. You begin to take the artillery and you begin to turn the fight to the enemy. But having the fire, the power, and the anointing. Everybody say anointing. It makes all the difference. I just share with you, I'm at my mother's funeral in Kentucky. There's 20-some ministers there, all great men and women of God. Okay, but here's what happened. God sent this guy, it was from India or Pakistan, I don't remember. He sent him to me, and he stood right there, and he poured or vomited or done something to me. He began to say, there's something about you. He said, there's this thing called an anointing. He said, what I'm telling you is you have the anointing. I'm telling you that when he was saying that, the devil said, you ain't never been nothing but a drunk. You ain't never been nothing but a pot smoker. You ain't never been nothing but a womanizer. You ain't never been nothing but no good. I don't care what he says. You ain't no good. You ain't going to never amount to nothing. You don't believe. The devil began to lie to me. And it was only after that, when I'm standing at the graveside doing my mother's funeral, when I began to know that God had made a reason for me to hear that. As the enemy begin to come at me as I'm preaching my mother's funeral, I said, well, let me tell you something. This is a virtuous woman. This is a woman that fought a good fight. This is a woman that served God. This is a woman that stood up and did what was right. And I can only say today that I'm here and saved because of a virtuous woman. Not you, devil, you liar. You ain't no good. I got the anointing. I want to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. The difference makes all the difference between having a dry, dull, boring church service and you are the church, or having floodgates of heaven pouring out the Holy Spirit and having revival. Look, we want to have revival. It starts with us. We want to have revival. Look, I know you're coming here at 8:20 in the morning, and you have been for over a year now. You bunch of holy rollers. I counted this morning 22 people. 22 people in this congregation said, I'm going to go get me some early. Look, if you need to be freed, you come to the altar. You ain't going to meet us there. You're going to meet him there. If you need more, begin to ask him for more. If you got an anchor sitting beside you, cut the rope off. Let them do what they want. Float into the deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Begin to get into an intimacy with God himself. The 134th Psalm, verse 2. It says for us to lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Oh, woo. Oh, that sounded sure sounded good. Oh, that sounded really good. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Man, the word is powerful. The 107th Psalm, verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, it endureth forever. Oh, look at this one, the 47th Psalm, verse number 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Woo! 100th Psalm, verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The 149th Psalm, verse number 3, let them praise his name in the dance, and let them sing praises unto him with the tremble and the harp. Yeah. 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 56th Psalm, verse number 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So let's take a praise break. Glory! Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy of all praise. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then I want to share, you may be seated, with. I want to share with you, in closing, John the Baptist, Luke chapter 3 and verse number 16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Yeah. Now we know that John the Baptist, he baptized with water, and it symbolized the washing away of sin. But when you hear about Jesus and Jesus is coming, it says Jesus' baptism is a little bit different. This is what the church is missing today. I'm going to invite you to come and get it this morning. Jesus' baptism with fire would equip his followers with power to do God's will. Do you want the fire of God in your life? That no matter what's happening, you can get out of self and get into the presence of God. He was the man that was sent from God. He would have the spirit and power of Elijah. He preached, repent, the kingdom of heaven, it is at hand. He preached, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of our God. He preached, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He had the boldness of Isaiah, the passion of Jeremiah, and the anointing of Elijah. He was a voice, not an echo, and he was making a difference. My closing thoughts this morning as we close is Jesus has compassion. He has compassion for us right where we're at. When we talk about the baptism with fire, it also represents empowerment, and empowerment to proclaim Jesus' resurrection, no matter what the world is saying about that today, no matter what anybody else is saying about you. What he's telling you, I'm going to give you fire. And when they see Doug, they ain't going to look at just the outside. They're going to look and say, man, there's something about that dude. I don't want that. He's telling you, I'm going to give you something, and you can't get it nowhere else. The second part, it also symbolizes the work of the Holy Spirit, but it says that we need to repent of our sin. We need to quit acting like the world and understand that God has called us for a time such as this. And if you come to Sunday morning just to get filled up, it's still going to be a desert. It's a lifestyle. It's a change that's for real, that it takes forever. It says on the crowd with no shepherd in Matthew 9:39, Jesus had compassion. He had compassion on all that were sick among the crowd. Jesus had compassion on the crowd that had no food, and Jesus had compassion on the healing of the two blind men. He had compassion for the leper with a withered hand. He had compassion for the man with the legions of demons. He had compassion for the widow whose son had died. Jesus, he's the one that made the ultimate difference at Calvary for you and I. By going to the cross and dying for my sin and your sin, having compassion and making a difference is what our Jesus did. A fresh word from God can make a difference in your walk this morning as we stand over the house. A fresh word from God. Do you need fire? Do you need to be compassionate? Do you need God to do something special in your life? As the praise team makes their way back up here, are you ready for a fresh word from God this morning? Come on up to the altar this morning. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Who cares? Make your way on up here. And as you make your way up here, as the praise team begins to praise, I really want you to think about this message today. I want you to really look and contemplate what God is doing in your life or what you'd like for God to do in your life. When you look at this, having compassion and making a difference, this fresh word that we need today, the book of Jude had a strong warning against false teachers that had crept into the church, and we are the church. What have we allowed to creep into us today? Let's notice the things that's around us, the way we process, what we think, and let's begin to take authority over that. Let's begin to influence the lives of the people that God placed in our lives. Let's begin to look unto Him for His understanding and not our own. As the altar is open, as it always is here this morning, I want to invite you to come up here today and fight. Quit laying down and begin to fight the good fight. For those of you that's accepted Christ over the last couple of weeks, this is how you get closer. Just keep coming and keep doing. Keep getting into the Word of God. Keep praising. I know I was blind, but now I say. For those of you who know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been counted out, you remember those long, dark, deep nights that you was in a place where you didn't want to be, but yet you cried on Christ, and you cried and said, I can't take no more. This is your no more. This is your no more. I heard it said this way a couple of weeks ago, if I could just have one more time. Don't die looking for one more time. You're not promised tomorrow. The choice is up to us today. I can't begin to tell you over the 2 decades that we've had this church here how many people's come into this service at this position in those places and left here and died. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just telling you that we are not promised tomorrow. Young, old, or wherever it might be. If you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's nothing more important than believing your heart and professing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord.
Yeah.
When you have this relationship with Jesus Christ, you no longer got to perform. You don't no longer got to abide to law. You got to abide to relationship. What's the Word of God tell you to do? Repent. 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 And what He gives you in return is love. 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 So this morning, all over the house, as they begin to praise and they begin to worship, don't worry about nobody else. Who cares? If you're still running on that empty tank of 20 years of salvation or 30 years of salvation, and you can't seem to even get in the Word no more, we need to do one thing. We need to repent. We need to come back to relationship with Jesus Christ. God, I'm sorry. I have no idea, Lord, how I got so far away from You. I know, Lord, everybody can see it but me. And God, I need a relationship with You. I need to hunger and thirst for righteousness again, Lord. Lord, will You make me hungry for the Word of God again today? God, will You break me down and open me up and pour into me a new wine? God, will You begin to do a work that only You can do? If you hear how silent it is in here this morning, it's never like that here. It's like that because God is searching our hearts. And the truth is, God wants to meet you right where you're at. Our God is love. Our God is love. Take yourself off the hook and just allow God to love you. As the altar opens up, if you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, believe and profess that He is Lord. Allow Him to begin a new work. If you need healed by 39 stripes that our Savior Jesus Christ bore on Calvary, they are for our healing. And we'll pray with you and we'll claim healing in the name of Jesus. Whatever your need is today, don't leave here the same as you came in. Yes. Just don't leave here the same. That's the only thing I ask you. Amen. Don't leave here the same. You heard the word of God, and it wasn't no accident. I got saved not believing, coming into a church service at 31 years old thinking I knew it all. And I couldn't understand why that old... I was hurt. I was at the end of my road. I was tired. I was broken. But boy, I could put up a good front. Today, I just let the front down. Allow God to work something brand new in you this new year. Allow him to love you like he did on Calvary when he died and rose again for you and I. Yes. But the choice is always going to be ours because Jesus is a perfect, perfect gentleman. Mm-hmm. If you need to be set on fire again, come on up here and ignite yourself. Whatever it is you need today, the need can be met at the altar of repentance. Bring yourself before the Lord. Ask him to ignite you. As we begin to praise and to worship all the way through the Psalms, it tells us this is how you praise and worship God. It's not a patty cake God. He died for us. It should be joyous and incredible, and it should be passion and fire. So today, I invite you to come and let nothing lie to you or hold you back.